Blog Talk Radio.
I can take another one off the bucket list, folks. Welcome to a special episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of PunchDrunkCritics.com. And on this episode, I had an incredible pleasure, the chance to speak with John Travolta, screen legend, one of my favorite actors of all time, about his new film, The Fanatic. And like I said, this is something that does not come around often to get a chance to talk to somebody like Travolta. So I had to jump at the chance. And getting to talk to him about a movie like The Fanatic, which is something that we've never seen him do before, was also a special kind of treat as well. The film has Travolta playing a character named Moose, who is a socially awkward guy living in Los Angeles, who is obsessed with horror films, in particular an actor named Hunter Dunbar, who is played by Devin Sawa. And Moose and Hunter have a series of altercations that escalate over the course of the movie. So you get this situation where Travolta is on the other side of the lens, so to speak. He's playing the fan rather than the star being obsessed over. So it's a different kind of thing for him. And I wanted to talk to him about kind of being on the other side of things for once. And Travolta has a lot of interesting things to say about that, as well as his career, getting into the role, the types of characters he's always played. It's a really, really fun interview, and he's a terrific guy to talk to. The movie's directed by Fred Durst, and I know you know that name. Fred Durst is the front man for Limp Bizkit. This is his feature debut, so I got to talk to Travolta about that as well. So here is my interview with John Travolta talking about The Fanatic, and it's about 12 minutes long. I hope you enjoy it.
Not often, man, we get to see you come out and do these sorts of things.
I know, but you know, this is how I used to do it in the old days.
Yeah.
Is when I did Saturday Night Fever, we toured the country, and it made a difference, you know. And I did it for Wild Hogs, and I did it for Ladder 49, and I did it for probably 10 of my movies, and I always thought it made a difference.
Your presence means a lot.
Yeah, you know? Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, obviously, The Fanatic, you wanted to come out and do something for this movie. Talk to me a little bit about how, I know you and Fred Durst are kind of friends, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, we were friends first because he wanted to meet me years ago about moving into film because it's his first love.
Yeah. So.
And I said, it sounds like a good idea. And then during that time, I gather he did his two films. One I saw, excellent, it was like a short.
Mm-hmm.
That he was actually in as an actor, and he was so good in it. I mean, truly good. And then, you know, years go by, and he finds a piece of material that he wrote loosely based on a man he knew, or knows, Moose.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Moose is a real.
Yeah.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, and he's on the spectrum to some degree, but I increased it because of the things he had to get away with.
Mm-hmm.
With the maid and breaking into the house and tying up, all those things I felt were needed a little more justification of behavior.
Yeah.
So I just took the liberty to expand on that a little bit. And he, you know, he wrote a beautiful character, you know, that's really a special role.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that I felt I could really, you know, get behind and absorb because I've been on both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know, I understood the fan side, because I'm an ultimate fan of artists.
Yeah.
And I could understand the film actor side, so, you know, I felt like I had a good grasp on it. And Fred was wonderful. He'd improvise with me and before I'd go on and get me in the zone of the guy, you know, and then yell action.
That's interesting, because the movie is kind of walking a balance. You know, it's, you know, the refrain throughout the movie, and I don't want to spoil anything for people, but, you know, he's not a stalker. You know, but it is walking sort of a balance because the things he's doing could be looked at that way, you know. But then you look at it from his perspective, and of course it's not. Was that one of the things that sort of drew you to the story? Is that it is kind of in this gray area?
It is, and it obviously brings up the idea of what is the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do you go over the line? In Moose's case, he kind of nukes the line, but so does the movie star.
Yeah.
You know, the film star does
the
thing because he's being unkind to a fan, even in a setting where you're supposed to be meeting
mm-hmm.
a celebrity. So he's kind of a good guy, but is a bad celebrity.
Yeah.
And Moose is just a fan that, yeah, he may be obsessive and he may be on the spectrum, but when he's bullied
mm-hmm.
by most people, but when his favorite person in the world bullies him, the movie star, he can't think with that. It confuses him, and he gets so overwhelmed that this is happening that he gets confused and he does things that only a confused person would do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? And that's what I really kind of looked at as the way to take him through this, is that the worst, you know, in that scene in the mirror where he said this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is, because in his imagination, all the people that he loves love him too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and he's imagining that all those things at the end when he's making him fantasize with him are all the things that Moose, you know, and that's what the tragedy of this is, that at the moment, the ultimate fantasy is happening.
Yeah.
We're going to be buddies. We're going to go out and do this and watch movies and have milkshakes and then boom. The ultimate horror happens, you know.
How did you prepare? Because he's such, I mean, you've got such a wide array of colorful characters you played. Moose is one of the most unique ones. How do you get into the mindset of playing that character? Like you said, you pushed the things a little bit, you know, a degree further than.
Well, he's a man child,
mm-hmm.
you know, for sure. So there's an innocence that you get to play with that, and also I put him on the spectrum to a greater or lesser degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that allowed me freedom, because he also had behavior that was very specific.
Mm.
Tics and physical mannerisms that repeated themselves. And the thought processes, you know, once you could understand how he thought, he was kind of, you could then have an effortless way of approaching those behaviors, you know. And again, when he would improvise with you, he'd say, "Hey, Moose, how you doing today?" And then I'd answer questions, and then I'd go to the lighting department, I'd talk to them in character,
mm-hmm.
and talk to props in character, and then Fred would be clocking all this, and in front of me saying, "It's time, let's see." And then boom, I'd be right in the thing. So it was I had a team, really.
Yeah.
The crew really supported this character. They couldn't wait for Moose to show up. They didn't know what he was going to do, because I expanded on the behavior. So they were entertained by his unusual personality, you know.
Yeah. You said you've been on kind of both sides of the fence here. Did you give any kind of pointers, not just for the Moose character, but also for... Hunter, the actor here, played by Devon Sawa. Do you have any like pointers or anything like that to kind of pump up that character as well, the actor character?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, Devon, I don't know if you know his history, but
mm-hmm.
he was quite a big star in the
90s. Oh, yeah, I remember Final Destination, Casper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was quite a big deal. So he understood being in the limelight and
mm-hmm.
kind of had a fame, and then he kind of retired.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew what that felt like to withdraw and then come back. And
yeah, he's made a few movies lately. He's been kind of busy lately.
Yeah,
so.
Finding his way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so Devon was the perfect choice for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at first you think, okay, well, who should it be? Should it be Stallone? Should it be Schwarzenegger? Should it be, who is this kind of iconic, you know, star that everybody knows or whatever? And it was such a smarter choice to go with someone like Devon, who looks like Steve McQueen, you know,
mm-hmm.
it looks like, why wouldn't you be infatuated with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why wouldn't anybody? And he had that that swagger only that those kind of actors could have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the chip, he had a good chip on his shoulder, because theoretically, you know, he shouldn't be behaving that way.
Right.
He's a good person, but a bad celebrity, you know.
Yeah.
And Moose is a good fan, but also maybe obsessive. So
he's also kind of going through something. You know, he's kind of going through stuff that Moose may not have the life experience to understand.
Yeah, and the interesting is he never clocks that this guy might be a little more special needs. He's never he's so preoccupied with his ex-wife and his maid and the fair, his career dipping and all that stuff, mm-hmm. that he's not even seeing that this isn't your average fan.
Yeah.
This is a guy, look at his physical behavior. Look at he's not even clocking it, mm-hmm. which I find fascinating, because a lot of times people don't clock, they're not looking.
Yeah.
They're not even seeing what's in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're dubbing in something else. All he's dubbing in is stalker,
yeah.
Obsessed fan, dangerous.
Yeah.
And he turns him into someone dangerous.
Mm.
Like all he had to do, he didn't have to sign his chest aggressively, or he'd sign it, and handle it. Or call the police if you're really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't.
Yeah, didn't do that.
He was macho about it. He's like, well, I'm going to be the guy I'm supposed to be and handle this. Like a man, like a father, like a, you know. So it's complicated in that way, you know, to some degree.
Is this somebody you ever wrestled with? You know, do you ever, like, kind of get the, because you have played so many characters, do you ever kind of, like, want to live up to the roles that you've played, you know? Kind of, you know, situations arise?
Theatrical family, we knew we were playing. Honestly, you know, when I did Turnblad and Hairspray, I knew I was playing. I had no interest in being outside of that movie. Or I had no interest in being Vincent Vega after Pulp Fiction. You know, I loved them up, played them, left them. You know, all my characters are not someone that I want to live on with, you know.
It's interesting, though, because a lot of actors, they do sort of become their characters in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's how they are. Maybe it's a PR thing, and they're kind of molded to be made to look, kind of resemble characters they played.
Well, maybe if you do, you know, I've always viewed my career as a character actor career.
Mm-hmm.
That it's pretending to be a leading man or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never viewed it as having to live up to any kind of persona, really, ever. I don't know why. I think it's, you know, when you have a mother, like I did, that was reading you plays to go to bed at night, and you know, in a different culture of the arts, that you don't really view it as any kind of image you're living up to. You're viewing it as how can you be honorable to this performance and, you know, deliver a performance. And it's very, very specific that way, I think, you know?
Yeah.
I've never had, maybe other actors might, because they're vested in their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know what I was as a person. I mean, I don't know, I don't have any, like, idea of what I would be as a leading man in a movie generically, you know, because I've always been given an assignment.
Yeah.
You're going to play, you know, a Brooklyn guy, disco dancer, obsessed with, you know, moving out of the city and, okay, go.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to now play, you know, President of the United States, you know, Clinton, and, you know, now you're going to play a woman, and you're going to do, and I'm given an assignment.
Right.
A
lot of actors are kind of called on to kind of be themselves.
Yes, and I've never been called on to be myself, because I wouldn't even know how to define that.
Interesting.
I really wouldn't. I just kind of a neutral essence of some sort. You know, I might have a presence that's prominent to some, but I don't know how to articulate. Even Nick Cage, when we did Face Off, he said, I don't know how to find you. He said, I looked at all your movies, but who are you? Which one is you?
Yeah.
And I said, well, maybe if you take a little bit of the lighter ones, like Lucas Talking or, you know, Phenomenon or something, where you could find my nature in there.
Interesting.
but not necessarily. So we became, we designed those characters together in Face Off because we had to. He was very easy to define because he's very specific, you know, with his voice and his cadence and his walk and all that. So it was much easier for me than it was for Nick, wow, you know, to find. So, yeah.
All right, that was my interview with John Travolta, talking about The Fanatic. We also went into a little bit about his career, and I was surprised when he started talking about working with Nicolas Cage on Face Off, which, if you've never seen Face Off, it's a cult classic for a reason, all right? Travolta and Cage together is quite a combustible mix, let's just put it that way. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that interview. My review of The Fanatic is up on punchdrunkcritics.com right now. You should go check it out. The film is available in theaters as of tomorrow, August 30th. Check that out as well. I hope you enjoyed this. I will see you soon. Bye.